to Conversations. I'm Stuart Best, your host. Today, we're going to interview Darnette Taylor in a really, really interesting interview. We're going to call it Blood Work. And I think it's very, very important interview, which is one of the reasons we're posting this online free. Normally our conversations are like the Best Video Productions, Best Global Report, Borderlands, but this is an important thing, give you a taste of what our conversations are about. We interview different people, different times, Klaus Dohna, Larry Taylor, a whole host of people, Red Elk. It's been very, very fascinating. We don't do them very often, but when we do, it's for good reason. And without any further delay, I want to get into this thing with Darnette. It was a fascinating thing. It's about Native Americans and what the government is doing in their analysis of what appears to be DNA and genetic checking. And no explanation is given as to why they're actually doing it, and I think people really need to take a good look at this, because I don't think it is going to go well with the Native Americans for a number of reasons. Anyway, we'll be getting into this thing right now. I don't think Darnette Taylor probably needs any introduction to our people, because Larry has mentioned her visions and dreams and all this sort of thing before, so everybody is familiar. Hi, Darnette, how are you doing?
I'm just fine.
You had a vision. I want to start out with a vision you had about an earthquake, because it seems like we're coming up on how many earthquakes has Arkansas and Oklahoma had in the last few weeks?
Wow, I don't know, just quite a few. Well, the vision that I had, I usually have my visions in like a dream vision. And in this vision, I was on my way to work, and I had gotten to a small town, few towns away from where we live, but it seemed like it was a long, long way. In the vision, as I got to this here place, all of a sudden, the bottom of the ground fell out, and it was like the Grand Canyon.
Oh, boy.
There was nothing there. But as I was going to where I had where the ground fell away, there were geysers beginning to open up, and I knew I was in Arkansas. And I could see the geysers, the water, you know, coming up out of the ground and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was getting hotter, and I was on a paved road. And then I got to where the ground just fell away. And the people were not even paying attention. They were not seeing around them or seeing what was going on. I could see it, but I knew I had to go on. And so I was going. And then when the ground fell away, there was no more going.
That would kind of stop you, yes.
You could not get across the divide, so to speak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I turned around, or tried to turn around, and couldn't get my car around because of the line of cars behind me. And so I had to just get out of it and take off on foot to try to get back to where Larry was.
Oh, boy.
And so as I began walking back through the towns, I could see the people, and they were waiting for the government to come and help them. And you know what? The government never showed. And I could feel myself without any shoes. I'd walk my shoes off because there was no shoes, and I could not, nobody would help. Nobody was interested in helping me. They were too busy price gouging and taking things from other people. And so
there's quite a message in this, then. The government's
interesting.
Yeah, the government's not going to help you. The fallen nature of man is going to turn totally selfish, and everybody's on their own.
Exactly.
Wow. Did you get back?
Yes. I got to where I was going back to the house about a town away, and I knew that Larry was all right where he was at, but I knew I had to get back to him in order to be okay, because I would not receive any help anywhere else.
Wow.
So that was very interesting to me.
Well, in view of the latest BOTS report, number 8 just came out yesterday, and what they are saying is look out. All kinds of flooding and rains and earthquakes, and it's just kind of a hideous report, but I think this is what the human race is headed into.
Well, I did have another vision. This was just before I came home, and it was on around the 10th of 2010. And I woke up probably about 7:23 that morning and heard the words in my spirit. It said, they were two times spoken into my spirit. It said, hear me. And then I got the words Ezekiel 21. And then the words again, hear my word I give you. And then the word that he gave me was, there will be a hush all over the world.
Well, you know, Larry was talking about a kind of a hush or a silence in the spirit world.
Oh, yeah. This was given to me before he got that. And then there was a hush in the spirit there for a while. But I believe this is going to be more so in the coming days.
Okay, you would think then humanity is going to see something that's going to make them hush.
Going to happen to really bring about a hush, whether it's natural or man-made, I don't know.
Listen.
But I'd like to share another vision that I had.
Yes.
And then I kept hearing woke up to a beautiful song the other morning. And I never had this happen to me before. Usually before I have the visions, I hear drums drumming, Indian drums. And I've talked to several of my friends who are like me, they're half-breeds, and they hear the same thing. And I thought, well, now, where is the correlation to the drums in these visions that I'm having? And then I got this a thing that Larry had gotten from Red Elk. And this is in Red Elk's recommended Awakening Spirits, or it's a traditional book that he got from his grandfather, Stalking Wolf, a.k.a. grandfather, who trained this Tom Brown for 11 years. Well, anyway, there was a young boy, and he kept seeing this old Native American man singing a prayer and playing the drums. And nobody believed him. And all the tribes were making food, you know, making fun of him. And more or less letting him, you know, be a foolish person because he was seeing what he was seeing. And then they began to see it. And the old Indian man who was beating the drum and singing or praying, chanting, more or less, that this happened before the white men came to take their land. And then the white men came. And that was the vision that this young boy was seeing. Well, I had a vision like this the other morning. I woke up to the sound of very beautiful music. And it was just, all of a sudden, I saw in the spirit this old Indian man sitting on the ground. He had white hair, he had a withered face, and he was beating on his drum. And I would assume it's probably a prayer drum or something like that. And but before that, I heard the music. It was just beautiful. I never heard it before. And as I heard that chant, there was like a chant going on, and I looked at his mouth, and he was looking skyward. And as he was looking skyward, I could see the chant or the prayers coming from his lips and going skyward. And so I told Larry, I said, that made me think, you know, all the evil that was done. You remember the desperation that came from the Jews out of the Holy Land?
Yes, yes.
Well, there was a rumor that the Choctaw and some of the ancient Indian tribes were speaking Hebrew when America was discovered.
Yeah, and then they found all these kind of like Paleo-Hebrew writings.
Artifacts. Well, from my understanding, the Choctaw down close to Mississippi were attacked. You know, they were more or less brought into the realm of, they were bringing them through the to the white men's area living and surviving and all that. And they were going to do the Trail of Tears. And when the missionaries came in, they had an old friend that she was kind of like me. She was a rebel after any cause.
Okay.
And she told me that when she was in school that they were beaten because they were speaking Choctaw language.
So they were trying to get rid of all the Indian language, all the Indian, everything that was Indian.
They were going to beat the Indian out and save the man.
Boy.
More or less. Or woman, so to speak. Now, see, we were never taught Choctaw. My mother would not teach us Choctaw.
Mm-hmm.
And neither would my grandfather. But there's a reason behind that, and I always wondered what it was.
Hmm.
And the reason behind that was, if you knew Choctaw and you spoke it or you gave prophecy, you were a bad person, and you were not to use that language anywhere. Now, personally, Stuart, I believe that the Choctaw are the ancient Hebrew, and were some of the Jewish, or the Hebrew that came over here.
Yeah,
away from persecution.
I have to tell you, I think it's kind of funny because British Israel in identity will tell you that the Native Americans don't even have a soul, let alone be redeemable. And I find it so amusing and part of the Lord's dry humor that the very ones that they hate are the very ones that are from the tribe of Israel. And I just find that fascinating.
Well, it's kind of like, it's interesting, you know, they did Jesus the same way, you know.
Oh, yes.
And personally, I believe in Jesus, and I believe that, you know, he's the Savior, you know, the one that's
mm-hmm.
going to take us through all this. And he is the answer, but as far as, I think the spiritual ramifications of the Indian people, so to speak, and I'm talking about the Choctaw plus other tribes, is that they can see in the spirit realm. I believe that these blessings came through God's blessings. It also denotes that the cursings came too, you know.
Right, right.
And there's a reason that we're seeing all these visions and we're seeing this stuff. I believe the vision that I saw, this old Indian man's prayers have been prayers that have been set up by the people to the Lord, and probably even from the time, the ancient time of the Hebrew, when they came here.
Yes.
That to right a wrong. He's praying for a justification or a someone to come and make things right. Okay.
Well, you know, this is kind of interesting because I don't know if you're familiar with Noyes in
yeah.
Phoenix Rising,
mm-hmm.
but she said that the Native Americans are going to get mm-hmm. their land back and it's going to go back into the old ways.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right now, see, when they came in down in Mississippi, they tried to beat the Indian out of the man, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, they tried to take everything that was their way of life away from them.
Yeah, well, they destroyed them, yeah.
The religious sect did. And it was all because they did not want them to do the same things that they used to do.
And it makes you wonder, does it not, that Satan knew who they were, mm-hmm. knew they were part of the 10 tribes,
yeah.
and therefore attempted to, well, of course, the Lord would be behind it too, because there was definitely the diaspora of Israel,
mm-hmm.
and that probably infiltrated into the, over here.
Yeah. Well, there's another little thing. It's kind of like an old wives' tale that the Lord came to these people over here and told them about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He told them about all the stuff. This is a man that came to the tribes, and they were worshiping one creator, which was God himself.
Right, the Great Spirit.
But they used the Great Spirit as a word for him.
Yes.
Now, the religious leaders that came in did not want them worshiping him. So they tried to take that away from them, and even their Hebrew language. See, the Choctaw, Cherokee, and Chickasaw, these were the five civilized tribes. Now, they had a natural, they could do, like, their own language, and they didn't, you know, they had their own language, their own counting system and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that didn't come from an ignorant tribe.
Oh, absolutely.
They had court systems set up and were a people of, if they told you they would do something, they would do it.
What's interesting to me, too, and I don't want to drift too far away from it, but you look at the blankets of the Native Americans, the various tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed the, how do I want to word it? It's almost like a mathematical precision in their patterns, their geometric patterns. And I have seen what some of the scholars claim was on the veils and around the temple.
Right.
They're the same.
Yeah. Well, that's some of the rumors in the ancient things that maybe they were connected to the prayer shawls.
I think they are.
Uh-huh. And I had spoken to several Jewish, I take care of mainly Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Jewish men that I took care of, he said, you know, Darnett, he said, there is an ancient legend in the Hebrew or the church that they attend, the Jewish church that they attend, the synagogues, that the Choctaw and the Indians are an offshoot of the Jewish tribe. And he said, we have that legend. He called it a legend. He said, so you and I may not be exactly distant. He said, we may be distant relatives.
Well, nobody is going to want to accept it, but the DNA and the genetics, don't they prove that this is true?
We've had some reference to that through DNA and genetics, that they came out of the tribe of Shem. And that would have been... you know, further back, of course, because of the way the genetics went. But I had some information that a friend of mine had dug up for me that that the genetics showed that they came from Shem.
Hmm.
And the there was Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Yes.
And those things... were showing that they possibly could have came from that area. Not all the Indians, but some of them could have came from that.
Hmm.
And it was a connection like to Babel. And it's, let's see, we have the group that came out of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There was different
right.
DNA and the connections to that. The post-Babel dispersion.
Well, now, moving a little forward in time, have they not run some genetic DNA testing on the tribes of Israel and claim that, is it, which tribe is it that has actually officially said we are one of the lost tribes?
Cherokee.
Cherokee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Larry's Cherokee, and so am I. See, I have a little Cherokee in me,
mm-hmm.
plus I have the shock dog. Now, that came from two different sides of my family. The Cherokee on my mother's, my grandmother's side, my great-grandmother's side, in which I didn't know it, but they were both married here in Mena, Arkansas. I've been mm-hmm. going back through some of the stuff that my family is telling me.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one thing. See, my mother's maiden name was Lewis.
Okay.
And this Jewish man told me, he said, you know, Darnett, he said, all the priests in the Jewish faith,
mm-hmm.
their name starts with L. Levinson or Lewis or... Those were the priests still part of the tribe. And I'm wondering if some of this didn't come down through the tribes from the Hebrew side.
Well, how else can you, I mean, if you're being objective and you're being honest and you're not biased against Native Americans, mm-hmm. I don't see how anybody can sit there and say that there are not similarities. For example, tribes. The way they speak, Indian blankets.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things tend to just go all the way back to the lost tribes.
Exactly.
And in your research, now you've done a lot of research on this.
Yeah.
Why is the government so interested in this?
Well, there's a little thing that came up in my research. I did a research on this here deal where they were checking the DNA of the Indians, more or less, the Oklahoma OBI, which is the Oklahoma Blood Institute.
Mm-hmm.
In 1997, they came up with this AVIS. And what this is a they had three chalked off people that came forward and donated blood. Now, MSN 42 or AVIS as they call it, it is a antigen, a blood antigen.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it off the walls of the red blood cells that were donated by the chalked off. And in this antibody, these people, they had healing properties, okay?
Okay.
The healing properties of this blood was what they were after. Now, I got real curious, and I know that God doesn't give you something like this without there being a reason for it.
Maybe an alternative reason as well.
And I got to looking on the internet, and I found some of the companies that were, and I made a mistake. I didn't print it off. And anyway, the companies were doing genetic testing on the blood for this OBI.
Okay.
Okay. There's something behind all that. I just haven't proven it yet. But I did have Tom Mack run some blood codes and stuff on me for the Bible codes.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran some codes, and he said, yes, there's definitely something to it. He said, the ones that have this antigen in their blood, they can receive blood only from people that have the antigen.
Oh.
Now, like if I was to give blood to someone and I had the antigen in my blood, it would almost make them, when they had to have blood, they would have to have, say, the same kind of blood. They couldn't take my blood if they had a different blood because it would kill them. It would make them basically a vampire wanting that blood again and again.
Hmm.
So what makes me wonder is, why is all the secrets in this blood thing?
Yeah.
There's something here that we just haven't pinpointed.
Well, They are doing race-specific targeting.
Right.
Satan does know who the lost tribes are.
Right.
Therefore, the U.S. government knows who the lost tribes are. I can't imagine Satan wanting them around for this new world order. Would it not be maybe a race-specific type of activity going on to eliminate them?
Well, it could be. For one thing, there has been a ongoing thing to annihilate the savage population, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Since the beginning that the church came to this area. And I would say that probably the church is behind it.
Well, the church, how do I say this?
Well, I'm not saying like our kind of religion, but there is an evil sect
within
some of the churches.
Well, even, you know, the vast majority of churches, of course, don't even know what the truth is.
That's true.
Don't want to know what the truth is, and they're busy just doing whatever it is Satan wants them to do.
I think the ultimate motive is it comes from Satan, that he uses certain people to get done what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
this is through different... upper crust people,
right?
The elite,
the powers that be.
Yes, exactly. There is an ongoing thing to annihilate the blood out of the Indian nation.
I don't think it's going to work.
I don't think so, because God gives and he takes away, and so they're running out of time. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be real honest with you. When I started studying this blood, I came under attack, tremendous attack. And I believe that it's come from, you know, Satan himself. He sent all the demons in the world that he can send.
Well, he doesn't want you to be exposing something that's secret.
Right. I've had people following me and people... you know, basically just coming out of the woodwork after me. And, I mean, they got a fight on their hands. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But Larry and I both noticed this. They're not they were following me, you know, in certain areas because we watched. And some of the stuff that I'd go after, it just disappear off my computer. I get hit through my phone.
Mm-hmm.
The phone calls and stuff like that. They took two phones out, a computer out, and all this research that I've been doing. I'm fortunate to have people that send me stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And give me information that I can correlate together. And also, Professor Tom Mack, he's done some codes for me and really gave me some insight into some of this. So I know where it's coming from.
Wow.
Even if the people don't, you know, that's doing it. They're not sure why they're doing it, but they know they're doing it.
Yeah, there's something you're digging into that definitely does not want to be exposed.
It's right.
And this would, when you put it all together as an observer, I would say that the reason they don't want it exposed is because... how do I word this? If the 10 lost tribes, a good share of them a Native American, what does that do to supremacy, British Israel, identity, which are in control, basically? I don't think a lot of people realize that the United Nations, when it finally gets all said and done, is going to be proven to be an identity organization. I've always felt that for some reason. That the white race is supposed to be the supreme entity on planet Earth, and that's all there is to it, and everybody else is to be a slave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you come along and you're poking little holes in their whole concept, which is really what you're doing, they're not going to like it.
I've done everything I can to poke holes in it. So.
But it's amazing that they're going after the blood work.
Well, life is in the blood, Stuart. The life is in the blood.
True.
Now, what else would you go after? Do they want the blood to give them super life, superpowers? See, this is one thing I found with some of the blood things, is that some of these bloods, it depends on the type, they have extrasensory perception. They have more vision. They have healing powers. See, I heal very quickly.
Okay.
You look younger. You know, I'm in my 60s. Some people say I look 45.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. My daddy was in his 50s. He looked like he was in his probably late 20s when he died.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm not saying that it's not a vanity. It's just the truth.
Yeah, the facts.
And, you know, what are they looking for that they want to use this for, this blood? Could this antigen bring about a super soldier healing?
You're getting into Tom Horn's
work. Super things if you can make. I'm reminded of some old vampire shows that I saw. One of them was Blade, you know, where they have this circle around of the old ancient vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this bleeding of this one who is Blade. And he has the mixed blood, so to speak, that when it comes down and it hits one certain person that is not human, but not fully vampire, then they will become a super entity.
Oh.
I'm wondering if this is not what they're seeking this blood for. So Indian blood may become a very valuable thing in the days coming.
Well, yeah, if they are after the ability to have dream visions or see into the spirit world,
right.
This would try maybe to give them an edge over things. I hadn't thought of that part of
it. Right. And see, the thing is, I have had these dreams and visions, you know, since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that I would almost know what someone was thinking before they knew. I could almost tell you what they were going to do before they knew what they were going to do.
Hmm.
And especially people that I knew. There was a contact that I did not understand.
Okay.
Through a closeness of people in my life. You know, if somebody was going to say they were going to be hurt or injured, I would have a bad dream. And it would end up being about possibly vampires after someone. And I had a cousin that was killed through a domestic. Probably 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the night before she was killed, I had a terrible dream. It was about vampires chasing me. Well, that night, she was killed by a husband beat to death.
Oh, boy.
And the next day, my sister calls me and tells me, she says, she's been killed, you know, and everything, and he had beaten her to death and actually stabbed her with a ice pick and all kinds of horrible stuff, you know, that he had done to her. Well, this man got off with little or nothing, you know, 6 months in jail, and he's a free man. Murdered someone. But I see the prayers of this old Indian in the vision, crying out to God because of the wrongs that have been wrong to the land, to the people that were here first, okay, that had left the land that was under persecution. They came here for freedom. And now here they are being subjected again to the same thing.
Well,
Satan just followed through.
Yeah, and there is kind of a, what do we say, what you give is what you get back, and the whites did the controlling and subduing and all of that, and now it appears that that's going to happen to them.
Well, I think this is what's coming. I think it's like the little boy in that was before the white men took their land. Now, who's going to come and take the white man's land? And see, this is one of the Choctaw prophecies, is that the white men are going to be removed from here. And also, there will be three dispersals of the Choctaw Nation. They were removed once before, and then they were removed again.
Mm-hmm.
And now there'll be a third one.
In the prophecies, does it say who removes them?
It doesn't say. But there is a prophecy that the Chinese are coming to take America. And that's another vision that I had. I had a vision of my sister and I working together. And during this time we were working together, we were having to travel. And as we would go across the highways and these bridges, at the bridges we would meet Chinese and Russian troops. And the Chinese were guarding a certain amount, and the Russians were guarding a certain amount of the bridges. And you had to show IDs or either go around them. And in my dream or vision, I saw the Chinese at one of the points where I had to cross. And I was trying to get around them because I wasn't going through them. You would meet with resistance
when
you went through them. And then I got to look in the Choctaw prophecies. And that was two or three people had the same prophecy that the Chinese were going to come and take this land. And so right now the Chinese own us. They have the right. Actually, people don't think so, but they own land here.
Oh, yes, they do. Lots
and
of it.
They can come in and take it. You know, it's theirs. They bought and paid for it.
Yep.
And the only way we're going to keep it is to fight for it.
Well, I think the Hopi have a prophecy of that nature, too. They claim that the people from the east will be the ones probably who come here and punish.
Right.
Yeah, that does go back to, you talk about the Trail of Tears. The visions that a lot of folks are having is that the Christians are going to be on these forced marches, too.
Yeah. And, you know, that brings me to another point.
Okay.
You know, if I'm not prejudiced, okay, I don't care if you're white, black, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing I will tell people is that if they're not serving the Lord, they better get to serving Him. They better get the Holy Spirit and have the spirit of discernment through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, I think that it's not just the blood that's going to take people through this. I think it's the Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide everyone through everything. There are people I talk to. We have a friend, and I know you know him, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jeff went through some traumatic experiences in Vietnam.
Yes.
And he knew the Lord to get through them because the Lord would tell him when to go, when to stop. When to go, when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you, the people out here that want to survive anything are going to have to be so in touch with the Lord that they know every minute detail that He tells them to do, and to follow Him through the Holy Spirit, that He will lead and guide them. The only protection we're going to have, I don't care how much food they put up, where they go, what they do, all that's not going to protect them.
No.
They're going to have a personal relationship with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And be able to walk through this.
Well, the Lord can take all your food away. He can take all your guns away. He can do whatever He wants.
But you can survive, you know. You can survive if the Lord, you're following the Lord. And if you're a Christian and, you know, you do die, then you've got it both ways. You know, make my day, you know. That's what I tell them.
Yeah. And I think there is... Well, Larry's done some work on this die-off of maybe a translation is not what people think it is. Maybe it's just a die-off, and lots of people just suddenly perish.
Right.
as it was back in the days of Noah, where in Jasher it says very emphatically that the people who followed the Lord just simply died.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Lord takes care of them. He says don't grieve those that are dying, because they go to a better place. But, you know, that's something my grandfather, he was an old Indian Christian man, and he would always say, he said, the time to cry is when a baby's born, and the time to rejoice is when they go home. He said, if they've lived a life to under the Lord and served the Lord and are in communion with Him, and he always brought out the fact that the Holy Spirit, they had to follow the Holy Spirit, you know. He said, that's when you rejoice, because they're going home. And he said, it's not a dreadful thing, he said, in other words.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, that the Lord said, other flock do I have, not of this fold, and to them I must go. And lo and behold, we have all these statements from the Hopi and the Inuit and others that somebody came and taught them things.
Right. And, you know, this is something that I think it's in every man and woman to do good or evil. And it's a choice. I mean, everybody has to make that choice.
Yes.
Good or evil. And some of them have chosen evil, and it's to do it to the fellow man. Now, so far, I mean, you know, I can see the ramifications of the evil in this world, and it's growing worse day by day.
Oh, yeah, we have definitely, the human race is basically sold out to evil. Particularly the powers that be. I mean, evil men wax worse and worse.
Well, they want to subdue and control. And those are the things that they're after.
Once they got this adaptogen, or whatever you wanted to call it, from the blood, would it not behoove them, however, if they are of the 10 lost tribes, to eliminate them?
Probably so, you know. You see, the annihilation of the Indian people started way back there, when the church or the white men that came, or whatever they were, came, and they gave them blankets with the typhoid interlaced with it.
Oh, man.
They forced marched them without anything. See, when they came into the Choctaws to take them on the Trail of Tears.
Yes.
They told them, there's a great lie out there that they took them with wagons and all this. They gave them nothing. They made them leave everything they had. These Choctaw people had, and Cherokee, had farms. They had livestock. They had blankets. They had food. When they wanted to take all that with them when they were leaving, they were not allowed to. They were put on a forced march. Some of them had just what they had on. No blanket. They were not allowed to take their blankets or anything. No way of protecting themselves. Lots of them died.
Is this cavalry that did this? The U.S. cavalry?
There were several different, mostly the military. And they were supposed to have boats and provisions for them, but that never showed. And they were just put in a little small town, and the towns had nothing to share with them. I mean, they had only had what they had. And there was not, back then, there was not a lot of food, you know. They raised what they could eat and put away for themselves and their families. Well, you bring in an army plus a bunch of people that have nothing, and how are you going to feed all those people? You'll all starve to death.
Yeah.
And now some of the towns did try to help, and probably that's how some of the people survived.
Do they know how many people died on that Trail of Tears?
I don't think they even kept up with it. They had like so many thousands starting out, and I think it was less than a few hundred that made it through. Now, apparently, my family made it through. My grandfather was born in 1903, and he was named before he was born because of the allotments that were given. They had to name them, and so that they, if they were a male, they got their share of acreage.
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
came the next attack, which was to bring in alcohol and steal the land. And
mm-hmm.
they're still after the land. That's some of the things that some of the people I know are still fighting.
Well, you know, they've all these treaties and reservations and all of this sort of thing, nothing but lies, nothing
yeah.
but extortion.
Well, it's that government mentality. We'll steal what we can't take any of the way.
Yeah, they have the upper hand. They have the power. But if the Lord is going to make this injustice right, then the whites are in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah. And I believe something's coming. I'm not sure if it's going to be a natural disaster, because usually when I have these visions, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I see something coming, and I won't say that everybody's going to survive. I don't know if it's going to be natural or man-made. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the other day, is like in Fort Worth, I was in my bed, and I felt it shaking twice. The first time, I thought I was dreaming. The second time, I knew I wasn't, because I was awake.
Mm.
And so there is movement going on in under the earth.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, Jeff and Ina, their house is even being shaken apart.
I talk to her almost every day, and she tells me everything that's going on. And I said, well, Ina, where are you going to run next?
Yeah, they kind of picked out a bad place, I think.
I think so, too. But, you know, those are things we have to realize. We have to really pray about what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, we'll be in the wrong place.
Well, when I heard they were moving to Oklahoma down there, and I know they wanted to because of her family ties,
uh-huh.
but I had a bad feeling about it.
Right.
And, well, of course, you have to go, I guess, where you lead, but occasionally that cannot be the place where the Lord actually wants you to be.
Yeah. I know when the Lord sent us here, I was praying about it. And he was telling me, he said, do not go to Norman. And I was thinking, now, Norman, we're not going to Oklahoma. That's what I was thinking, Norman, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got here, lo and behold, about a few miles from us is Norman, Arkansas. So he was warning us not to go to Norman, Arkansas. And so I told Larry, and Larry and I talked about it, and he said, well, God's showing us the places to be, you know, where to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so he led us out here to this little community, and we're here for now. But, I mean, if God tells us to get up and move, we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of what people think or whatever. But I know he set us here for a season mm-hmm. and for a reason.
Well, probably Norman, Oklahoma, or Norman, Arkansas is due for a rearrangement in their city skyline.
Well, when we talk to people around here, we have one friend,
mm-hmm.
and she has talked about there being an area that the major earthquake takes out, and Norman is on the fault line.
Oh, it is?
So, yes. Uh-huh. It is on the fault line. So God did direct us, and I know, you know, if you just turn around and look when God tells you something, pay attention and check to see what's really in the spot he directs you away from.
Yeah, I had that happen to me. It's kind of funny, really, because I was coming up out of the studio. It was around 11 o'clock at night, and just as clear as day, the Lord said, get your truck ready. Susie's going into the ditch. I ignored it. I just thought, well, you know, that really can't be for the Lord. He doesn't pay attention to those little things. So I went in and started to watch TV, and the phone rings, and it's Susie, and she's in the ditch.
And you said, Lord, next time I'll be attention.
Yeah. So you learn through, you know, some people have hard heads and can't hear too well, but you're right. I mean, you do, it's almost intuitive, too.
Right.
Where you just feel, this is where I'm supposed to be or this is not where I'm supposed to be.
Well, you know, that's what I'm seeing with these people that are attacking the blood situation. They could have the same thing if they walk with the Lord.
But yes.
They don't want to do it that way. When does Satan come in? He always comes in the back door.
Mm-hmm.
He never comes the right way. He always wants something freebies.
Mm-hmm.
And he always imitates the Lord, you know. So therefore, this genetic thing or this antigen that he's after, and I believe it's him after it, there's some kind of property in there that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be the knowledge of what's going to happen next. Because, you know, he only knows what's going to happen next if we tell him. And we know through visions, dreams, and through the Holy Spirit exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if he could pinpoint that, then he would have knowledge to fight us with.
Oh.
Not?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so maybe that's what he's after, that knowledge. But I don't think the Lord's going to give it to him. You know, he could have all the blood in the world, and it still won't make a difference.
Yeah. Well, if Tom Horn is right, and I know he is, then with the blood work, yeah. And, I mean, it would give a soldier, for example, tremendous advantage if they could do that.
And, you know, this is something, this is another vision I had, bringing up. Every time you say something, I think of something else that the Lord showed me.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me that these boys that are over here fighting in this land, they're fighting fallen angels. The people of this world need to be praying, the Christians that claim to be Christians, they need to lay down some time to pray for these boys over here for guidance and knowledge of how to fight and combat these things. And these boys over there that are fighting, if they don't have the Holy Spirit, they're already whipped. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, unless God deals with them and they're open to listening to him, they'll never make it. Because I saw a vision of the sand rising up against them. Now, that was pretty dramatic to me. And it showed me that the fallen angels that came down to Mount Hermon, that was where they came down to take over. And that was where they were coming and going. And what area are these boys fighting in? They're in Afghanistan, very close to all of this.
Yep.
And that's enemy territory.
Yeah, like Larry said, going into Iraq, we inherited the Prince of Persia, whether we wanted him or not.
Exactly, yeah.
Boy.
And I have talked to people and asked them to pray for these boys because, you know, a lot of them weren't raised in godly homes. They weren't raised with the knowledge of the Lord. And even if they were, some of them weren't raised to combat things like this. Because they don't have that knowledge. And they don't have the, you know, and I'm just praying that every one of them get the Holy Spirit and follow the Lord. To make it out of there.
Yeah, because otherwise they won't.
That's right.
It's a trap. The whole thing is a trap.
It is.
And a nasty trap, to say the least.
And it's a way of annihilating the youth of this nation.
That's interesting you bring that up, because it almost is like, well, we'll get all the soldiers out of here so that then we can do what we have to do with mercenaries, and we can do what we have to do with the imported soldiers from other countries.
That's right.
Who are more or less not have any hesitation about killing Americans.
Yeah.
Have you had any visions concerning that takeover at all?
Not really, other than the Chinese coming. You know, I know that they're going to be one instrument, the Chinese will be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a definite.
Boy.
Now, I do know that our boys are fighting for a battle for their lives over there. Not just the physical lives, but the spiritual lives. Because how many souls would be lost in one battle over there? There's people dying and, you know, going to hell right there. And this is what I'm seeing. And I say any family that has family over there, they need to be on their knees and praying and seeking God for the protection of these kids.
As intercessor.
Most of them are kids because most of them are anywhere from 18 to 19.
Yeah.
And have no knowledge of the real world and what's going on out here.
No, they don't. They don't have a clue.
And they have no knowledge of what they're really fighting either.
Yeah.
I've always been of the opinion, know your enemy if you're going to get in a battle.
Well, the Bible more or less indicates you better know your enemy because otherwise you have no defenses.
That's right. And if you don't know who's attacking you, how can you fight them?
Yeah, you down there, you've been attacked so often.
Oh, yeah. When I started doing this blood research, I came under tremendous attack through my computers, through the, and even physically. I woke up one night in the house that I'm staying at, and I had this thing, one on one side of me and one on the other, and it's like a woman spirit pulling my hair and fighting me. And the only thing I could do was cry out to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when I called that name, it stopped immediately. And so I know how to fight. You know, I fight through the Lord. Because he's the one who's fought the battle already. They don't have that authority over me.
Well, no, they don't. And Jesus has the authority, and he has authority over all things. So,
right.
One thing that I find among Christians is they do not, for whatever reason, take the authority that they've been given.
That's right. They don't.
And as a result, they come under horrendous physical and mental and whatnot attack.
Right. You know, the thing is, Stuart, you've got to know who you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know how to walk. Now, I'm not saying that all Christians are perfect. You're not. You're not going to be perfect. If you were perfect, you'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Larry tells me.
Well, that's about it.
But, you know, I've come under some really, really bad. This all started way back there. I was down at my mother's, too, and I was getting ready to go to my job. I'd spent the night with her and was going to drive up the next morning because I had to leave so early. And I was out and putting things in my car and just finished, got everything in my car. And she and I were outside, and she was telling me goodbye. Of course, she always comes out and does that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I put my legs in the car, just got in the car, and this great winged creature, I think Larry might have told you something about it.
Yes, he did, yeah.
And it had the beak like one of these here Egyptian things, like a bird man.
Oh.
But it was like a man figure with wings, leathery wings, and the feet, I don't know what they look like, but I could see the hands and the claw-like things behind it, and the leathery wings. And as it came by me and went in front of the car, I was just fixing to start the car up, the door slammed. If my leg had been in that door, which it was just a minute before, it would have broken it.
Ooh.
I had just lifted my leg out of the way, and my mother saw the wind, and she saw it, and I hollered at her and told her to go back in the house. And then I got out of the car and went in and told them what I saw. Well, my brother, he gets scared easy.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife got out of bed. She started crying. She wanted to go home immediately. She didn't like that idea. And so then I told my mother, and I said, Mom, I don't know what it means. She said, oh, it's a forewarning. And then the Lord gave me Watcher. That was watching me. But he got caught. The Lord allowed me to see him. And so I know that these things are out there.
Oh, absolutely.
People don't realize the entities that they're going to be battling in the days coming.
Yeah, they're going to be on their doorstep.
That's right. And they're going to be watching. They're going to be, you know, I'm not the only one that's going to come under attack, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few more out there. It was like, I think it was night before last. I was in bed, and I mean, I had a battle with a fallen angel. I mean, this thing was on me. And I told Larry, I said, I could feel it. I could feel everything about me fighting, you know, this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, those things had some major power.
Oh,
but
they have
the
a
Lord
lot of power.
Me through it.
Yeah.
You know.
Again, it's the authority.
Uh-huh. It is.
In the Native American folklore, I'm going to jump to another subject, the owl.
Yeah.
What is the owl, and what does it mean to the Native Americans?
Well, to my grandfather, in the way he put it, it meant it was an omen of bad, things, something bad going to happen. And I've heard this from several Indian people. My grandfather, we used to, we would walk to town a lot when I was a child. And my grandfather, Lewis, on my mother's side, he was full blood. And he would say, when you hear an owl, take the end of your shirt tail and wring it. He said, choke it down when it starts hollering. He said, because, he said, that's a bad omen. Now, not everybody looks at an owl like that. It is a warning, I believe, of things to come.
Well, the reason I ask is I know, you know, Larry told me about he went and drove by an owl that was looking at him.
Yeah.
We had one show up here. We don't have many owls.
Right.
And I could hear it in the back, towards the back of the house, and I rebuked it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it just took off and flew away.
Right, right.
So that's why I bring it up, is I'm wondering, is this an omen then? That
kind of an omen of something coming, portending tragedy. That's what my grandfather would say to us. He was an old Indian man. Now, he believed in the Lord, but he also paid attention to the outward signs of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And the owl was one of the things that if you heard it three times, you know, that it was a bad thing. And especially in the daylight. In the daytime, if an owl came and began to talk, that meant, you know, that was out of place.
Oh, I see. Sure, because they're a night bird.
You're right, right.
What do they call them? Doleful creatures, I think, in the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of interesting because it left, and I heard it one more night, and I haven't seen it or heard it since.
Right.
So I was kind of curious because I had known from what Larry said that they were sort of not necessarily a good sign.
No, they're not.
Hmm.
From what I understand. Now, I don't have a problem with owls, but also that is one of the things that are associated with these here, what do they call them, the Grays?
Yes.
That's kind of association with them, too.
Oh.
And known as messengers, you know.
Okay.
Interesting.
Huh. Well, you know, these Native American legends and mythology, I don't think it's mythology at all. I think there's always a lot of truth in how they present things if you're smart enough to figure out what it is they're saying.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing, Stuart. A lot of the Indians are so used to talking about these things that they don't put it into a fearful context. It's just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's the natural way, and it's like some of the prophecy of the Choctaw. See, I thought there should be something on Choctaw prophecy, and I had never found anything in my area about Choctaw prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come to find out, I've been hearing prophecy all my life and never realized what it was. It was so natural, ingrained in our livelihood that I never took it to be prophecy.
Oh.
So, you know, my mother would say, well, the world's going to end by fire. You know, that's what she'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And I never paid attention to it. Or she'd say, you know, something to the effect that something was going to happen. And, and I just ignore it, you know. And but she had heard it down through generations, and that's the way they pass on prophecy. And some of the things that they were talking about, I wouldn't even put it down as prophecy.
But it was.
It was, definitely. And then some of the Choctaws, they do have a prophecy down out of the Mississippi Choctaws that there's going to be a big, tall, hairy creatures will come and destroy all but the Choctaws. Now, that's talking about Bigfoot.
That's Bigfoot, yes.
Yeah.
Well, when is this supposed to happen?
It doesn't say. It just said the prophecy was given, you know, passed down. World War III will come and destroy the world. I've heard my mother say that. That the third world will destroy the world.
Boy.
And then here's one that, talking about the removal, said a bad chief will be elected and we will lose our land and have to leave, eating tadpoles and burning buffalo dung. Now, that was given in 1997. And look who's in charge.
Barack.
Yeah. And right now, I listened to a YouTube video, this gentleman was talking about Barack Obama beginning to the annihilation of the Choctaw.
Well, you know, when he campaigned, he said, we're not going to forget the Native Americans.
Oh, he's not.
But he meant it in another way.
Yeah, yeah. He's telling the truth. He isn't going to forget them. He's going to take everything away from them. The casinos are going to lead to the loss of the sovereignty of the nation, and also to the other nations.
So what you think he's going to do then is to abrogate all treaties and take all the lands.
Well, see, now they've come into a point that all the Indians now are so intermixed that what is the reality of a Choctaw Nation? You're not whole blood anymore. You're watered down.
Uh-huh.
So therefore the treaties, what will they be?
Oh.
It's like...
So then maybe they could do this through the blood work.
Yeah, yeah. And too, you know, I am a card-carrying member of the Choctaw Nation. See, I have the benefits of the Choctaw Nation. As a card-carrying member. But if they disallow a certain amount of the tribe, well, guess what? There is no longer a tribe.
Oh.
And it will not be a nation within a nation. See, the Choctaw is a nation within a nation.
So then the reservations that are for these specific tribes no longer apply.
Exactly. And
well, that's evil.
Everything is going the way of the destroyer. I mean, he's come to destroy. And so, you know, they're going to move people for progress, and there'll be another removal. And it's even rumored that the Choctaw Nation will be moved to an island. And then... they will bring them back, and the Chinese will actually give them their land back. Now, I've also heard a rumor that the white man will be removed from this land.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because in the prophet Jeremiah talks about a depopulation of the land. Well, there's two ways you can look at that. One is they murder everybody.
Right.
Or two, they move them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Huh.
So, and there, you know, there's a prophecy about there will be man-eating snakes come, and there'll be so many snakes that they'll just cover the house. You know, they'll just come out of the ground. And I'm wondering if when this great earthquake comes, we won't see this.
Man-eating snakes would have to be relatively big.
Yeah, yeah. Or could it be that they'll begin experimenting with doing these here underground experiments on the population of DNA for the snakes?
Well, I was reading not very long ago, somebody said, he claims to be an insider, that they are working on huge spiders as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
anything in the prophecies of the Native Americans about that?
The only thing I saw were that there will be man-eating snakes and they'll crawl all over your house. And then there will be great storms, there will be tornadoes, more tornadoes, more storms coming.
Mm.
And there won't be enough food for people to eat. Forests will disappear. No more lands to hunt. And there'll be kids killing people and kids dying at younger ages. And, you know, just different. People will be at each other right and left, you know.
Yeah, brother against brother.
Uh-huh. And that the Choctaws will increase from car accidents, stabbings, and, you know, killings related to liquor and stuff like that.
Hmm.
And then the women will disrespect their husbands. They even talk about that, see.
Oh, they do? Well, that's already begun pretty much, I think. And
so that just that shows the sign of things coming. And also that there will be two moons in the sky. That's the signs of the end.
Two moons?
Uh-huh. And there will be too many, too heavy for the earth. In other words, there would be too many people on earth.
Hmm.
So isn't that interesting?
Two moons. I wonder if we capture some sort of an object.
I'm kind of curious about that, too.
Because I know, in the movie 2010, The Year We Make Contact, there were two suns. Is there anything about two suns?
No, it just said two moons.
Two moons.
And I'm wondering, you know, when everything starts moving, you know, we may have the pole shift, in other words. That may be when these snakes come in from other parts, you know, because it'll be too frigid at other places.
Well, you guys got a lot of snakes down there, don't you?
We have quite a few. Let me, I'd kill them all, but
we don't have many up here. I mean, we do have what they call timber rattlers, and that's about it for poisonous snakes. Most of them are little things.
Yeah. Well, we have snakes that come up in the yard, and I usually like to take my gun out and shoot them.
Because
you're wasting ammunition, quit it. Use the hoe.
You know, it's kind of interesting. In Native American folklore, is there any particular reason why people don't like snakes?
I'm sure there is. I just haven't run on to that part of it yet.
I wonder if
I think it's because of Adam and Eve. I think really they relate that back to he's like trickster. He's like the coyote, you know. He's cunning and he's wild, you know.
Oh, okay.
Not to take and steal. And they relate him back to the enemy. And so that's kind of where, and not all believe like that. But anyway, they have a prophecy that the end of the world is that the earth will break loose and sink into the ocean. And also that anything can happen, flood, asteroids, fire, earthquake, World War III. Those are signs of the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard my mother say these things, see.
Wow.
But I didn't relate it to prophecy.
Well, of course, you know, that goes along with the Hopi and it goes along with the Bible. So obviously these prophecies had to, if you trace them back.
Well, we're going to have to leave. That is basically the extent of that. Kind of interesting, though, all the little things that, how do we say, make up. Native American, we could call it folklore. I don't know if that's a good name, actually. But a lot of things going on here. And, you know, people just don't pay any attention to any of it. That's the problem. I mean, after all, Native Americans, what could they know? I think they know a whole lot more than we think they know.
and I think it's going to be proven out in the very near future. And it's not going to be a good deal for any of us. In any event, I hope you enjoyed it, and kind of interesting, all of that. Thanks for listening.